Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another wonderful evening of broadcasting right here on LA Talk Radio. This is The Writer's Block. We are coming to you live from my secret studio buried somewhere between the Rocky and the some mountains out here someplace in Idaho. But we're here and I'm buried and that's how it is. My name is Jim Christina. I am on the air with my good friend and co-host and of 5+ years, Miss Bobby Jean Bell, or Bobby McGee.
Hi, Jim. We're doing our social distancing thing as usual.
Apparently, we are. Just remember, busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, feeling nearly as faded as my jeans. Okay, so that's Kris Kristofferson, Bobby McGee.
Yeah. Okay.
God, he wrote
or
some
Janis
great songs,
Joplin, then. Yeah, or Janis, whichever voice you hear in your head when you hear that song.
Oh, definitely Janis Joplin. I mean, Kris Kristofferson sounds just like her. So what are you going to do? But he wrote some great music. I mean, you know, Sunday and Coming Down.
Absolutely.
Help me make it tonight.
Yep.
God, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to go there. How are you? Oh, what are you guys doing for Halloween? I mean, it's a week away. Well, a week and 2 days. There in our area here, we're not trick-or-treating.
We hadn't really thought about it. Back in California, we would see a lot of kids, you know, come through the neighborhood. We've seen some kids the last 2 years, but not nearly the same numbers that we saw in California. I don't think we'll really encourage it. So, but we haven't really talked about it. I just realized Monday's the 26th. You know what Monday, right. You know what Monday's the anniversary of?
26th of October.
Yeah.
No.
Big day, 90 seconds of history.
Big day, 90 seconds of history.
Yeah. 1881.
1881. Holy crap.
Arizona.
Oh my God. Oh, October 26th. Yeah. 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It was a blustery, cold, windy day. When four men marched to their destiny.
Yep. And into history.
4th Street to Fremont and Fremont to the backside of the OK Corral. That is
still correct. Yep, still being written about today. And, you know, absolutely. It's interesting because I was thinking about that date today, and then I thought, oh, Halloween's, like, I didn't think about Halloween. I thought about October 26th.
Well, you know, they still have people doing that walk, and they still have people shooting each other.
Oh, yeah.
That's never gonna stop.
No, of course not.
You know,
it's legend. Yeah.
Part of history, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway. Although at the time, you know, they didn't call it the gunfight at the OK Corral. They called it the fight on Fremont Street.
Well, and it wasn't even, you know, until they had the funeral. And that
right.
It wasn't, you know, like, they did not, people in town didn't know about it the way we know about it. That's that other interesting piece of that whole story. You know, it was a mining town. They didn't really... anyway, we digress because we're getting far off the subject of our guest tonight.
Oh, I know. Well, let's say a little bit about our guest tonight. She is, her name is Savannah Hendricks. She is an award-winning author and social worker, psychiatric social worker. Her books include The Clean Romance, Grounded in January, and 3 children's picture books. She holds degrees in early childhood education and a master's in criminal justice. Holy crap, really? You can find out all about her books by visiting the seashellsoflifewordpress.com. And she, one of my favorite titles, and I told her this the other night on the phone, is I Adopted My Mom from the Bus Station. Would you please welcome to the writer's block, Ms. Samantha Hendricks.
Yay!
Yay!
Hello! Thank you for having me. I must say that you're not very off topic, though, because I'm in Arizona, and I've
That's
been
right, you
to
are.
At least five reenactments of that OK Corral thing. So you're still on topic.
To be honest with you, I don't even know where Tonopah is. No, I know where Tonopah, Nevada is.
Yeah, I do too.
That's where everybody knows. Everybody knows Tonopah, Nevada. Tonopah is just a small little town outside of Phoenix, and really nobody knows it's there because you can drive right past it on the freeway. So it's but everything's grown out west out that more. That's out there. So, everything's growing out of the valley.
Okay.
Is it out of California?
Is it out off the river?
No.
No. Okay. Well, then never mind. I'm done asking questions.
Everything is dry here. There's no water anywhere unless you go north. So.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna bring up my other topic that I wanted to discuss with you tonight, Savannah. You have a great name, Savannah Hendricks. It really sticks. And don't take offense by this, but if you wanted to be a porn star, you wouldn't have to change your name.
You know, and I've heard that several times before, which is so odd since I write clean romance. It's really
right.
The complete opposite with the children's books too, right?
Right. But you already got the name, Savannah Hendricks.
Now, Savannah, since you brought this up, I'm just going to jump in real fast. We've had a lot of romance writers on the show, and we've read all different sort of forms of romance. And this is referred to as both clean and also as sweet. And congratulations on the awards that you won for this book. Why don't you tell us what makes it a clean and or a sweet romance?
So the typical romance has, you know, sex and all kinds of stuff like that in it. I'll use it that way. Clean, sweet romance is really the best way to explain it is Hallmark style, where you don't really go beyond kissing. Everything else, even if it's behind closed doors, is never mentioned. So it's for people who want to read a romance story, but maybe, you know, 50 Shades of Grey isn't really what they want, or even something in the middle. They just want that nice romance story without any of that, the other stuff happening that is just what most people are used to reading in romance novels. Everybody says it's the book for grandma. But I read a ton of clean romance, so I think it's the book for anybody.
Yeah.
Well, would you classify this almost with a young adult romance novel?
You know, I would not, and simply because I've read a lot of young adult YA novels, and some of them are pretty steamy.
They can be. Now, you're known primarily as a children's book writer.
Correct. I have three picture books out.
Right. And what in the world possessed you to sit down at a typewriter or a word processor and start writing a 286-page novel?
Two things. My mom had MS, multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
And I really, really wanted to write a story that showed that even if you have that diagnosis, it's not the end of the world for the life that you want to live, even though that diagnosis does affect individuals all very differently, and it's known as the snowflake diagnosis, which is interesting when you have a book titled Grounded in January with snow on the cover. But also I had recently lost my dog Bayou, and he was literally the most perfect dog in the entire world. And I really wanted to showcase him as well. And so that's kind of what it started. I didn't start off writing a romance. I didn't start off writing anything specific. I just said, you know, I really want to write this story. Let's see what happens. And it was the first adult manuscript that I've written and edited back to back and then actually submitted. So it was the first adult manuscript I ever submitted. And I literally just got really lucky to have Brother Mockingbird pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say that it reads unlike any other romance novel I think we've ever read on this show.
Mm-hmm.
It reads, it's different. It's hard to put your finger on it.
Well, I think the characters, you know, I just loved Kate. She's quirky, and she's a little klutzy. She's actually quite klutzy.
She's adorable.
She's adorable in her klutziness. You draw this young woman with, you know, coppery colored untamed curls. And of course, we have our guy Ox, who's a pilot. He's really a remarkable guy because he can, you know, he runs the inn and he cooks and he's just a sort of a Renaissance man. Right. And he's quite a reader. I was struck too by a lot of the details that you put in the Edgar Allan Poe books in the room, I think in the bedroom that she has in the inn, and what he's reading at the airport when she arrives and they kind of first meet, and all the food. You must have had a lot of fun with trying to figure out the details to put in. There had to be reasons that you chose those books. And
I was too, and I mentioned wine in it, and yeah, it's... definitely. And then the recipe. So there's the original recipe. And I cooked that so many times trying to get it right for the story. But yeah, I had a lot of fun, and I like to do that in all my books, is really create a well-rounded character even before I set out to write the story, so that they do seem 360 dimensional, and that they have something that somebody can relate to, whatever it may be. And I mean, everybody has a favorite food. They have, you know, a favorite drink, a favorite book, a favorite, whatever it happens to be. So it was just kind of how I go about the process of writing a story, is creating each and every one. So I see them, I can create that story.
That's actually a good explanation. I haven't heard that one before. That actually makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. More than some other people that have tried to explain things to us. Sometimes Bobby and I can be really dense, and you know, and getting through to us at times is like pushing against a brick wall.
Well, it was a small cast of characters.
Yes, it was.
And so you were really able to develop them. And I noticed right away between the title and even the fact that she flies in and the airport gets closed because of snow, right, that snow was going to be a very important component in this book. And you just mentioned about MS being called the snowflake disease. You know, they're doing snow angels. They get caught in snow. They get lost in snow. That one terrifying scene with Kate and Matt out in the, you know, out in the snow. There's a lot of fear. These characters have different fears, don't they? And you help in the story, we see how they handled their fear. You want to talk a little bit about maybe Kate's fear and Ox's fear?
Yeah, I mean, Kate's fear, I think, is very universal. I think everybody has a fear of something, whether it be big or small. Kate's is a fear of flying, and it gives her really horrible anxiety. And I think that it's important to showcase things like that, because especially right now, there's so much anxiety that that people, you know, maybe they deal with, or they, you know, maybe they're lucky and they don't deal with it. But I think that for Kate, that anxiety really makes her a character that a reader can connect with. And, you know, we have Ox that's kind of the opposite, where he doesn't really have anxiety. He just is very shut down and very fearful of, you know, his diagnoses and the life that he feels he's supposed to be, you know, getting.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Bayou, Tim. Bayou, just yeah. Love Bayou. Tell us
what
about
a great dog.
Bayou. Yeah, tell us about Bayou, the star of the book.
He is the star of the book, for sure. Honest to goodness, he was based after my dog. My dog was not a therapy dog, but I know that for a lot of people, including myself, dogs bring such comfort and such love and really help. I mean, there's tons of studies that are showed that dogs lower stress levels and anxiety levels, and dogs do great things as therapy dogs. So I loved writing every single scene in there with him in it, because he just really made the story come together, and just like a huge paw print of love. He was just, it just worked out really well to have him in that story and bring so much light and love to the story.
That is actually true. We're going to take a real quick break here. We'll be back in just a second. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. This, of course, is the Writer's Block. And we'll be back in just a moment with Savannah and her book, Grounded in January? Yes, Grounded in January, right after this word from LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Talk Radio. You're listening to LA Talk Radio's very own The Writer's Block, and I am your host, Jim Christina. And you know, in this time of COVID-19, when everybody is locked down and working from home, getting tired of that old terrestrial AM talk radio stuff and TV, how about this? How about you log on to LA Talk Radio? See, we've got some of the best talk, music, sports, self-help, and, you know, just about anything that your little heart desires right here at LA Talk Radio. So why go any further? Why not just sit back and listen to what our hosts and our shows have to tell you? So that's LA Talk Radio, and it's found at latalkradio.com, and listen to The Writer's Block every Thursday night, 6 p.m., right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we are back, and if you want to call and talk to Savannah tonight, the number here in the studio is 323-203-0815, and again, that is 323-203-0815. And we'll be Bobby Jean, if you know, I have to do a little bit of microphone check, so if you would take the next question, please.
Oh, sure. Let me see. Oh dear, I've already asked some of the ones I was gonna ask.
Well, here, why don't I jump in and help you out? So I have to tell this story, because I tell it as much as possible, and it's the best story that has to do with Grounded in January. So I was really insistent to a point of probably nagging that not only, you know, the cover be a specific way, but that Bayou, the dog, was indeed an English lab photo on the cover. That was really important to me, because I know that there's readers out there that will say, no, that's not, you know, that's mm-hmm. a regular lab versus an English lab. So that was really, really important when we put the book together. But the funny part of the story was that my publisher, when she sent me the final draft, she goes, just make sure you can't see the dog's junk.
Seriously?
So we were with a fine tooth comb making sure you couldn't see the dog's junk on the cover, because that wouldn't go over well.
Oh my God. You know, I have to say that I have a golden retriever. And as sick as I was when I came home, I always looked forward to seeing my dog, because she always made me feel so much better.
Yeah.
You know, and they have a way of knowing, and they crawl up in your lap, and they give you loves, and, you know, they just get you full of dog hair. But who cares?
Who cares? Yeah. Well, and really, this dog really has a thing for Kate. I mean, he'll address Matt and Benjamina, you know, the other few characters, but he's really all over Kate. I mean, he's her security blanket. And I thought that was interesting that he would pick up on her so quickly.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
I almost thought as well as when going through this book and watching the growing relationship between Oxnard and Kate, that you've somehow have made the inn a character in this book.
Yes.
And
it
really kind of just jumps at you when it all of a sudden it dawns on you, wait a minute. This lodge is a character in the book, mm-hmm. You know, and you go, oh, okay, now that works really well. Mm-hmm. So,
yes,
and don't you want to go there?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Is it a real place? Is it a real place? Can we check in there? Is it based on a real place?
I want to stay there.
Unfortunately, it's not. It's all in my head. So unless you can get in there, like, what is that? What was that show? Was it Herman's Head where you're inside? Yeah, you won't be able to go there.
Maybe you need to build one.
Right, because it's perfect. It's the perfect inn, and I had to dig deep because I lived many, many years in Washington State, so I had the snow background, but I've never been to an inn, so I really kind of, I must say I have Pinterest to thank for that.
Okay. Do you have a question, Jim?
I do. Actually, I wanted to get a little bit into process because I'm really interested into where this story came from and how long it took her to sit down and actually put it on paper, because it does have some turns and twists in it that,
yes, it does.
That took a little bit of thinking. And and how long did it actually take you to write this book?
I started writing it. It took me about a month to flesh out the idea and then to sit down and start writing it. I started it around September, November, and I think I had the first draft ready to go probably around March or April. So it took me that long to write the first draft. And then it went through a lot of revision because the first draft, I believe the first draft was only 30,000 words, and this book is 68,000. Mm-hmm. So I only had half of the story done on that first draft. So then it took another 6 months to get it to where it was submission ready for uh-huh. publishers. Uh-huh. And then I believe I started submitting it in December.
Yeah. But then they're never really submission ready anyway. They're never really submission. No.
But that's quite interesting. So what did you add? Did you add some characters? Did you bring in, you know, Matt and Ben? How did you get it from 30 to the finished how'd you get it from 30,000 to 60,000?
So my first drafts across the board are always a ton of dialogue. So I have mostly dialogue in that first draft. And then I go back in and add all those other details, like the food and their clothes and what they're thinking, what they're feeling. But yes, and so in the first draft, Benjamina and Matt were not in the story at all. So that came in the second draft when I was sitting there saying, something's missing. I need something else to happen to come in. So that was added, and Kate going up in the plane, that also added. So there was a lot that was missing, but you have to remember too, I work 40 hours a week. So my writing time is mostly on the weekends. So it might take somebody else a lot less time to write it. If they have 8 hours a day, I mostly write Saturday and Sunday. And then if I have any other time, I squeeze it in there. So I'm writing about 8-9 hours every Saturday and Sunday, hands down for sure. And then if I get some other days off in there, then I focus on that too.
Gotcha.
Well, the addition of Matt and Benjamina, that was a little twist, you know, because we thought two guys were coming, two separate guests
right?
were coming. And I thought, oh, that'll be interesting. So we'll have three guys for Kate to, you know, choose from. And maybe Ox isn't going to be, she's going to take us a whole nother way. And yeah,
maybe this is going to be such a clean novel.
Well, maybe one of them will end up with Maggie, you know. So it was very interesting, the introduction of those two. Matt really missing the Wi-Fi and you know, really eager to get out. And it was very interesting, I felt. I don't know for you, Jim, but it felt like another kind of a new energy level with the introduction of them into the story. That was a good plot device.
Well, it was. I think she did a really good job of introducing them into the story, because it did, I believe, put new energy. Every time a new character came in, there was this whole burst of new energy. And it's like, okay, now we got a new book.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, and okay. So it kind of works really well with the reader to keep your attention and rapt attention on what's going on in the plot. Especially when you're adding new characters and now you're trying to suss out who these people are, which gives you more reason to read more of the book. So kudos.
And then it snows again. So they really can't get
again,
out.
Right.
You know, they kind of have to stay at the inn. They can get out for food, but, you know, they're locked down.
Well, it's so hard to really keep a book's energy up the whole time. And that's why you hear that whole, you know, the middle,
right.
You know. So that was really important for you to make sure, because I know that when I'm reading book in the middle, it's kind of I don't like that. So why would I try to write it like that? So it was really important for me that it was always moving forward. There was always momentum. There wasn't that saggy middle.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what they say is, if you would keep a book going, always have the character sleep in the middle of the book.
Oh, I hadn't heard that before. Well, they do a little bit of sleeping, but they don't do a lot of sleeping.
What are you going to do?
Do you see a sequel?
You know, a lot of people have asked me about that, and I definitely have a outline sequel in mind. It's actually written out. I just haven't had time to to do anything with it. But I do have an outline ready to go. I just have to find the time to actually write the manuscript.
It felt like it needed, it could have a sequel. I know it's not all, but this one, didn't you think, Jim? It felt like there's more story to tell here with these two.
Well, you certainly left it open at the end. And you know, that's almost a dead giveaway that there's going to be something else coming down the pike.
Or it could become like that TV show Paradise Island or whatever it was called. And the inn, they, you know, they're at the inn, but the next one could be all of the guests, like who comes to the inn next and what's their story.
Right. Welcome to Fantasy Island.
Yeah, Fantasy Island. That's what I
mean. The plan, boss. The plan.
Oh, we're just full of ideas for you, Savannah. Like, you really need them.
Yeah, I definitely don't need any more. I have a drawer full.
Stick with us, kid. We'll keep you in ideas. That's for sure. So, the Inn of the Woods is not a real place.
Correct.
I'm going to assume that Kate Wilson and Oxnard and all your characters were drawn from people you've known or would like to have known, possibly?
Completely made up, 100%. Well, the exception of Bayou the dog, yeah, absolutely.
Wow, good job.
Thank you.
It's because, we find that most of the characters we talk to, the writers, and there's a little bit of their friends in there, and there's a little bit of them in there, and there's a little bit of their mom and their dad, and, you know, it's just like, Atomic here, he's like half crazy like my brother, you know. Oh, okay. You know, but you completely and totally made this guy up and made them up. What?
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of ladies wish he existed. Trust me.
it's odd that the characters in a especially in a novel Well, no, I guess it's not too odd. But it strikes me as funny because we've been doing this show for 5 years. And I don't think anyone's ever told us they 100% made up the characters in their book. Did they, Bobby?
Yeah, they might have lied.
Yeah, they are writing fiction after all. You know, I don't know, Jim, that we've been that's a consistent question. Yeah, because I don't know that we've asked that often.
Maybe not, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I suppose it's a question that a writer would like to answer.
Well, like Ox has sapphire eyes. I kept thinking, sapphire eyes. Have I ever met somebody with sapphire eyes? And I thought, what a great, you know, I want sapphire eyes. I want his eyes and her hair.
Well, you know, where did you come up with the name Oxnard? I just have to ask.
Okay, well, I will just tell you then. I grew up in California for the first, you know, childhood years of my life. And I lived outside of Oxnard, California. And I thought, well, that would be a great unique name because I love creating unique names. So that's where it came from, was Oxnard, California.
Where about Oxnard? Where in Ventura County did you live?
I lived all over Ventura and Orange County at some time or another, literally everywhere.
Wow, yeah. How interesting.
Because we moved here from the barrens of Simi Valley up here to Idaho.
Okay.
And so, we moved from Santa Clarita.
Yeah, and then moved from Santa Clarita to Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Very different. Everything is very different, all those places.
It is extremely different, especially in Arizona. We're going to take a real quick break right here. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. This, of course, is The Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina. And we will be right back with our guest, Savannah, right after this word from Out West.
Readers Wanted. Want tonight's featured title, Grounded in January, by Savannah Hendricks? Or any books by the Writer's Block featured authors? Easy. Just go to outwestshop.com. Choose books and CDs from Coolbox on bookshop.org. The Writer's Block book list features titles of our guests. Click a book cover for the link to our interview and to purchase. Explore all our book categories. We add new titles daily. One Step Shopping supports Out West and independent booksellers when you purchase books through our bookshop.org affiliate website. Remember, it's always a great day out West.
And it truly is, and we are back. It is now 6:30. We are on the air this evening with our guest, Savannah Hendricks, and she is, we're talking briefly about her novel, Grounded in January. It's a story about two people who fall in love at an inn in Washington State. And we have problems there, so read the book. It's really, really, really well done.
There's lots of snow,
and we're not going to get any spoiler alerts in there.
No.
There's stuff in there that we really can't talk about.
Snow and good food.
And it also is a clean story.
Yeah.
No sex in this book, folks.
No.
Okay, if you want to call and talk to Savannah, the number here to studio is 323-203-0815. Again, that number is 323-203-0815. Okay, now we get into the nitty-gritty of the show, Savannah.
Oh, no. So this is when I leave. Okay, gotcha.
This is when you may want to pour a little bit more wine, put your feet up, relax, pet the dog. No, this is the easy part of the show. We're just going to talk about how, when you write, where do you like to write? Do you like to write in an office? Do you have a favorite chair with a laptop? What is it that you like to do?
So I have a very nice chair that my father got me recently. So that is a good spot. I try to do a lot of it in that chair in the office. But my dog that I have an English lab, a chocolate English lab. His name is Ransom, and he does not like it if he cannot sit next to me. So I do find that I also spend equal time on the couch so that he can sit next to me while I type away on my laptop.
Well, sounds like my dog. She gets very insistent and starts sticking her head underneath my arm going, hey, pet me, damn it.
I am here. I am here. I'm always here. Look, I'm here.
Okay. Do we have kids running around your house?
No.
Oh, smart move.
I was a nanny for 8 years, so I definitely got my fair share of little tykes.
I'm gonna congratulate you on that one. Mine are all grown, so I kind of went the same boat. I don't have any around here either. So, and Bobby Jean doesn't either.
Nope.
So we're all kidless.
Yeah, all kidless, and still don't have enough hours in the day to get things done.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? So, okay, now you know we know you like to write, and you like to write in the morning? Oh, actually, you said that on the weekends.
On the weekends. So by 10 o'clock, I am full force, if not earlier, into whatever manuscript I have.
I'm sure. And that would, and you write the entire weekend, Saturday and Sunday?
Yes, I am going until I start to get hungry for dinner.
Oh, okay. Now, I this is a question that I have been reticent in asking other writers, and I've thought I would start it out with you tonight because you're such affable. You're so affable to talk to, and probably we'll get a straight answer out of you. When you write, what font do you find most appealing to your eye and most appealing to your reader's eye, and what size of that font?
So I typically I'm around a 12 point font, but I've been having a lot of eye strain issues. So I've been having to expand it. So it's like 120% versus 100%.
Uh-huh.
But as far as the text goes, the font, I'm a sucker for the Roman times, the normal one.
Oh, Times New Roman. Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. I like that one, but I do. So when I go in for the first round of edits, I actually change the font and I edit it in a completely random font. And that helps me pick up on more errors.
Oh,
smart.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
So now I'll change it to anything to when I do that. And then I'll change it again to something different when I go through it, you know, the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth time before it goes off to submissions.
Yeah. You don't want to use Wingdings, though, because you can't read it. Wingdings are horrible. I think most writers and most publishers use Times New Roman because it's easier on your eye. And Times New Roman 12 point, I think, is standard in the industry now.
It is, yeah. You can get in big trouble if you don't send it in the right format.
Well, and they'll change it for you. I mean, editors will do. I've known editors that will go in and change fonts. And if your book is not formatted correctly, which is a really good question, really good thing to bring up too, because formatting is so important when you're putting a book together. I mean, there's certain things you got to have in there, and if they're not there, you know, it's you might as well just not even have the book. Like the copyright page, it's got to be there. You know.
Yeah, there's a lot of detail that goes into the whole process.
There is, and there's so many new rules as far as printing now, and as far as writing now, and so the old English way of two spaces after a period, that's pretty much gone.
And when I started, it was still there. So
yeah, but now when you start like a chapter, your first paragraph starts all the way to the left. You don't indent the first sentence. And if you break up a chapter going into two separate thoughts in the same chapter, you use the stars or whatever you want to use to break up and start a new idea chapter. You use that first sentence goes all the way to the left as well. Because it's like you're starting a new chapter. Right, right. And that's new rules. I mean, who knew? So there's so much stuff you got to remember.
Well, I had done with those stars, and I don't remember what happened, but I had done those three stars, uh-huh. and it took over the whole page, and it did a square dot all the way across the first time, and it took me a good 2 years to figure out how to fix that.
Isn't that something? That's interesting.
Yeah, you gotta kind of watch that. They will sneak up on you.
Do you do anything to, I've asked this, begun to ask this, we haven't asked it every week, but do you do anything to really fuel your imagination?
Yes. Going outside taking a shower for some reason, mm-hmm. someone needs to put a pen in there. Taking a shower. And going outside to go to the garden, to go play fetch with the dog, to go for a walk, whatever. Going outside, being in nature, literally every time I will come running back inside the house, searching for something to write down what I've just figured out. Or stepping out of the shower, trying not to trip and fall, to find something to write on so that I always fix all my issues that way, every time, either shower or outside.
A lot of our new writers ask us this question, and they like to get the writer's idea on this. Are you a pantser or an outliner?
I'm a pantser, 100%. Outline has been, I have to force myself to do it, and I suck at it.
Yeah, me too. Second question, which goes along with the first question. And I forgot what it was. I just had a brain fart. Isn't that funny?
Well, your question about pantser, it would be a question that would go along with that.
Yeah, and I'll come back to it. I for some reason, I don't know. I just went away.
Well, one of the questions you like to ask is, do the characters ever surprise? Was it that question about
your? Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead and ask that one.
Well, that question is that do your characters, when you were writing this novel, not so much your children's books, because they always surprise you. When you're writing this novel, did your characters ever come into dialogue that actually surprised you when they were not speaking it, but you were writing it on the page as they were speaking?
Absolutely. Because I don't follow that outline on, unless I absolutely have to. Literally everything that happens is, it's so character driven where they basically tell me exactly what it is that they're going to do. And that's how it's going to go.
Right. Right. Oh, I remember what the question was. Do you write everything in sequence? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of writers now, and I'm one of them. I'll get in a flash. I mean, it will get in my brain. I'll stop what I'm doing. I'll go to a fresh page and I'll write this whole thing down. And then where it fits in the story, that's when I'll cut and paste it in. A lot of writers do that. A lot of writers don't like to do that. A lot of writers will just go start, finish, all the way through. Which are you? Or do you know yet? Because you're only on your first novel.
I've got two other ones. I would say that I'm in the middle. So, yes, most of the time I do go from start to finish. But if I get ideas, I will jot those ideas down of where they need to go. But I don't go and write out a whole chapter or a whole this or that.
Okay. Like a scene.
Yeah. You know? I'll just put like notes, like a few mm-hmm. sentences. And then I'm like, okay, remember that for later. You need to put that in someplace.
Right. Right. Because, when you're writing, I mean, you may not know this, but I write Westerns and they're quite graphic. And when you get an idea about a gunfight or something that happens, a fight of some sort, it pays you right then to write it. Because half of what you think about and what you think it ought to happen is going to be gone if you have to go back and do it later.
So, yeah, I think it depends on the story that you're writing.
Right, right. Okay, okay. That's a good answer. Good answer, Bobby.
What's the best investment you've made in your writing career?
Oh, great question.
The lap desk, the thing that you can put your laptop on, you can sit on the couch.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yep.
That is literally the best investment I have ever made.
Does it have the pad for the mouse and everything?
Yes, it does. It has a slide-out pad for the mouse.
Oh, my God. Isn't that just the best? I have one of those.
And it's like it was like $25. So, hands down, best investment ever.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the laptop be damned. Give me the damned couch. Okay. The name of this program is The Writer's Block. As you know, and if you've listened to any of the shows from the past, you will know that the next question is going to be, have you ever had writer's block? And if you have, how did you get rid of it?
Yes, I have. I have it all the time. And we'll revert back to the other answer. I get in the shower or I go outside.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it does not last long at all. I can usually power through because you cannot edit something that you have not written.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. So it's almost more like a pause. What we've had some people say, it's right. Like a
writer's pause. Yeah.
It's like a writer's pause, not really a block per se, but it's just have to have a moment of fresh thinking, come at it another way, get a breath of fresh air.
Right.
And I have so many other projects that I'm halfway through that if it gets to be where it's okay, this is going to be a few hours or a few days or a few weeks, I'm going to work on another project.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, unlike our friend John Sanford, who just brings in another guy with a gun.
But then I don't know that he writes clean, sweet romances.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Okay, we're going to take another real quick break, and we'll be back with you just about 30, 45 seconds. This is LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Writer's Block. And right now we're going to hear a little word about Creative Edge. When Creative Edge was founded in 2016, they immediately showed they weren't going to be the same as other publicity firms. No, sir. You see, the folks at Creative Edge, they work closely with their individual clients, their needs, and their goals, pushing them harder and to get them noticed and get them booked. They believe communication is an important part of the partnership, and that model is exactly how they have built their success. They work on the, I can do that better, and they have indeed done just that. They collaborate and work with local, national, and international media outlets and organizations to meet their clients' goals and needs. So Creative Edge, it's your brand, it's your future. Mickey Mickelson, publicist, and you can find them at creative-edge.services. And now that Mickey is, he's full-time with Creative Edge, and if you need a publicist, you would do a lot worse than giving him a call. You can find his number on his website, which of course is creative-edge.services. And he's Canadian based, but he'll go anywhere. And the guy is really, really good. Okay, in the few minutes we have left, we're out of time almost. So in the few minutes we have left, is there any open questions that Bobby, you have?
What's the greatest joy of writing for you?
Hearing from readers, I get some really, really nice messages and notes, and those just, oh my gosh, it means everything to me. Even just talking about it right now, I almost want to tear up. It means everything to me to hear from people that my story touched them.
Mm-hmm. 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 Jim, you got one more question?
I do. What is on your bedstead to read when you go to bed?
So right now, I am currently reading Christmas Ever After, I believe is the title. I'm probably butchering that. That is what I am currently reading. I actually read a lot of suspense novels, surprisingly. But that one is I believe it's considered a clean romance as well.
Okay. Well, you know, we've had just a wonderful time talking with you, and I'm really glad that you gave up your evening to spend it with us. I mean, even though we are these lowly people down here at LA Talk Radio, and you know.
Well, no, I had a blast. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for putting up with me.
Oh, you're very welcome. You know, you're welcome back, and get a hold of the book when that next book comes out, and I'll shoot you a book.
Definitely. Perfect. Thank you
so
much.
going to probably be right around the middle of next year. But
you guys are booked up.
Yeah, we are booked up. We have people that have been waiting for like 6 months to get on this show. So
yeah, I think mine was quite a while too. But so I'm very blessed that I finally made it.
Yeah, well, everybody makes it. I mean, you know, we've only had one person drop out, and I think that's because she died.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
it was that one lady she was a Mickey client.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
We had to replace her really, really fast. Remember? Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember.
That's the only one we've ever really had that's dropped out. So, at any rate, thank you so much, Savannah, for coming in and agreeing to put up with our nonsense for 50 minutes. And we really do appreciate it. And
well, thanks for having me.
Best of luck to you. And make sure that you get a hold of us when you're ready to tout that other book.
Perfect. Will do.
Okay. Thank you so again. Thank you so much. Savannah Hendricks.
Thank everybody. You.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And next week, we have John Dedakis.
John Dedakis.
He's a big timer. He's a CNN guy. He works for Wolf Blitzer. He does. I mean, the guy's right up there in the business world.
He's won awards and
he's done everything.
Yeah.
So he's on with us next week, and the following week we have a return guest. You'll love him. That was Wayne Deal. Remember Wayne?
Oh, I do remember Wayne from our very first year, like in the fall.
When his granddaughter called from Hawaii. Yeah.
Yes, yes. he's going to be back on. That's awesome.
Yeah, he got another couple books. We're going to be talking to Wayne. And it's of course, that's a Henry Knight. And we love Wayne. And, you know, we love all our guests. But, it's just... We have so much fun doing this.
We do.
I know. It's like the most fun you can have with your clothes on. It's just like so totally just cool.
It's clean and sweet.
It is. And I have to say again that the show that I listened to today on Campfire Cafe, wow. Carolyn is, I mean, what a she's a power bass player. I mean, just holy crap.
Yeah.
two musicians that are just awesome.
Mm-hmm. And fun.
You don't even have to like Western music to like these guys.
No.
They are so good.
Yeah, Western swing. There's just something about Western swing. It just makes you smile. You know, even if it's kind of a sad song, it's done with so much joy in the performance, especially the two of them. They are musicians, performers, and entertainers. When you get to see them interact with each other and with their instruments and with the audience, they know how to entertain. Also,
exactly.
Remarkable people. They're a blessing in our life that we've known them for now several years. And
tremendous, tremendous people. And her music is just like I wish. I was like I told Bobby as I was sitting here listening to her play, I was doing a chair dance.
Yeah,
I was chair dancing. If Steve Martin once said that it's impossible to do a sad song on a banjo, it's impossible to do. It's impossible to Western swing and not smile.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Okay, so for Bobby Jean Bell and Jim Bell and Russ Avison and of course Ronan Rosner, myself Jim Christina, and of course Big Sam Hassan. For the Writer's Block for LA Talk Radio, Bobby Jean, what do you say? We are out of here.
We are out of here.